G'day, friend. We again come to you, and I sincerely hope that those of you who are listening in are reading and rereading this amazing book, The Gospel Through John. We're in the 14th chapter, a chapter which is greatly beloved by God's people. Yet sometimes I wonder if we Christians really, really understand and know the wonder of it all as you read this 14th chapter. There are four questions and answers, and I'm so happy that the disciples asked the questions. In fact, when you come into it, the intimation with them is, Lord, you didn't answer the question. One question leads to the other. As the Lord answers one question, the doors open for another question, and so on right down through the chapter. I say it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. We want you to get into the book. All I'm concerned about is I want you to know the Savior in a much greater way than you do. I want you to fall in love with Him. I want your hearts to be occupied with Him. And I want also, if it please the Lord, that some of you who are not Christians might come to know the Savior. Maybe I'm talking to some today who have got mixed up with all kinds of doctrines of men, the philosophies of men, and other religions. And you're still not satisfied. Your heart is not at peace, at rest. There's only one who can give you that peace, that rest. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who came for the express purpose of glorifying His Father, of putting away your sins, of defeating death, of overcoming Satan, of making it possible for men and women like you and me to be fitted for the presence of God. My friend, Jesus Christ did a perfect work at the cross. And now, as I said before, and I say again in these chapters, our Lord is on the way to the cross in chapters 13 to 17, and He wants to comfort, He wants to encourage, He wants to instruct these disciples who are with Him in the upper room. And how tender He is. It just seems as if they can't bring themselves to believe that the Lord Jesus is going to leave them. And do you remember the first question was, Lord, where are you going? At the end of chapter 13. And Peter says, Lord, why can't I go with you now? And the Lord, you remember, informs Peter the time's going to come, even that night before the cock crow, he's going to deny his Lord three times. And the answer, Lord, where are you going, is I'm going home. I'm going to Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. A prepared place for a prepared people. Again, I say, friend, God is going to have a people in glory with Himself. The earth is the theater of the universe. Angels, men, demons are seeing the purpose of God wrought out on this little old earth of ours. And it's a wonderful comfort to know that God's purpose will be accomplished. God's going to have a people in heaven. God's going to have a people who will be glorified together with Him. God's going to have a people with whom He can have unbroken fellowship. And He's going to have a people who will enjoy eternal fellowship with Him. God's made all the provision. He's offering it to men and women. The tragedy is there are so many who spurn the Savior, who reject Him. They think that the only heaven they have is on earth, and the only hell they have is on earth. Well, friend, I want to tell you, living 30 years or 40 years, or if you even live to be 100 years of age, it's only a flash in the pan. It's only a point in time. God has made you for Himself. And sin has ruined that picture. It's come between you and God. So God made the provision to remove the barrier of sin, that you might be brought to Him. You might have redemption. You might have forgiveness and cleansing. You might become a child of God. God has made the provision. God has made the provision through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Lord has gone back to glory. He put away His sin. He defeated death in the grave. He defeated Satan and the forces of hell, the forces of darkness. He's made provision for anyone. And my friend, you have the capacity to put your trust in the Savior. All He wants is you. He wants you to put your trust in Him. So where are you going, Lord? I'm going home. I'm preparing a place, a people prepared for that place. And may I also note that the separation between Jesus and His disciples is a temporary one. If I go away, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. May I press the point, my friend, it's not just getting to heaven. Heaven is only a change of location. It's where Jesus is. It's where God is. Where there's no sin. Where there's perfect peace and perfect fellowship and perfect joy. As the psalmist could say in the 16th Psalm, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We're going to awaken his likeness and be like him. Unbroken, eternal fellowship. Now, I repeat it again. It's a place where we're loved for ourselves. Not for what we do. We're loved for ourselves. And nothing will mar that love and mar that joy and mar that peace. It's an amazing thing to me that people will turn down such a proposition. There must be personal relationship between you and the Savior if you're going to be there. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. By no means. Eternal life is not something you work for. It's not something you buy. It's something given to you through relationship. As Paul could write to the Roman church, the wages of sin is death. Sin pays wages. God executes the penalty, death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know why I'm repeating these things, but I just feel impelled to say these things to you today. I just feel there are so many people listening to my voice who've heard these truths. It may be you're religious and a church member, you've heard these things all your lifetime, but for some reason, it's never got a hold of you. It's not a living reality in your life. And God wants the truth to live in you. This comes through personal relationship with the Savior. So heaven, I say, is not just a place to go to. A place prepared for you and me, though that's true. But the important thing is that we're going to be with Him. With Him. And wherever Jesus is, that's heaven. For you and for me, if you're trusting Him. Then He adds in verse 4, And the way, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now comes the second question. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you're going. How can we know the way? If we do not know the destination, how can we know the way? In fact, the inference here is if Thomas saying, Lord, you just didn't answer Peter's question. Peter said, Lord, where are you going? And you said, well, I'm going home, but where's home? If we don't know the destination, how do we know the way? Now look, Thomas really contradicts the Lord, for the Lord says, where I'm going, you know, and the way, you know. Now they should have known that. If you read the Gospel through John, how often he speaks of him and his Father and this relationship together and about the fact he's going back to glory. You take chapter 7, for example, he said, I came from heaven. My message is from heaven. I will send the Holy Spirit from heaven. I'm going back to heaven. And when I go back to heaven, I will send the Holy Spirit to you who believe. It never dawned on them. It never dawned on them. For some reason, they never understood. When our Savior talked about eternal glory, it was far from them. Their mind was occupied with a materialistic, physical kingdom. They just didn't see the amazing thing that God had in store, something beyond a materialistic kingdom, an eternal, spiritual, satisfying, wonderful place where you love for yourself and where you enjoy perfect peace. Lord, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. Not knowing the destination, how can we know the way? And the memorable answer of our Savior, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Now to this comes another question. You notice that. Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Let me just stop here. Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. May I remind you that Jesus Christ is not a way shower. He is the way. There are those who say that Jesus Christ is just a way shower, like a lot of these other leaders of different religions. That they're all way showers. Jesus Christ is not a way shower. He is the way. Do you remember in John chapter 10, he could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the door. In Acts 4:12, Peter could say to the leaders of Israel, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 20, we have access through a new and living way into the very presence of God. And what is that way? Jesus Christ is that way. He himself is the way. Now in Ephesians 2:18, because Jesus is the way, Paul could write to the Ephesian church and says, both, that is Jew and Gentile, both of us have access unto the Father through Jesus Christ. Access into the presence of God. He is the way. Now, he's the only way. Not by creation, not by works. He's the only way. Now, I'm a way shower. I can teach you the way. I point you to the Savior. I remember one time, if I may give a personal experience here, at one time I visited a young lady in the TB sanitarium. I was with her when they deflated one of her lungs. They collapsed one of the lungs. And I had the joy of leading this girl to the Lord. And she asked her husband, who was attending a university here in Portland, she asked him to come to the meetings, Central Bible Church. And he came to the Sunday night meeting, and after the meeting was over, he said to me, Mr. Mitchell, you know my wife at the hospital. I said, yes, I know her very well. She loves the Savior. Yes, she asked me to come. I've been here for the last two or three Sunday nights. And he said, you know, you and I are both searching for the truth. You're searching it one way, and I'm searching it another way. And I said, friend, do you mean business? Do you really, really want to know the truth? He said, of course, I'm searching for the truth like you. I said, no, I'm not searching for the truth. I found the one who is the truth. I don't know all about him. I don't know all about his purposes, but I found him. He's the truth. Sir, if you mean business, Jesus Christ is the truth. And with a kind of a condescending look, he said to me, you go your way and I'll go my way. And I said, right, only may I remind you, if you really mean business, God means business. Jesus Christ is the truth. You see, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Sincerity. People say, well, as long as it is sincere, it's all right. Listen, friend, sincerity can't wipe out sin. Sincerity can't wipe out sin. Can a person stand in the presence of God full of sin? Hebrews 9:22, which gives us practically the whole Old Testament sacrifices, where we read, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, someone might say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I don't believe in that gospel of gall. Well, this is what the book says, friend. And where are you going to find God? He's the only way. Do you remember in Job chapter 9, 33, and in Job chapter 16, 21, the great cry of Job, oh, that I had somebody who could put his hand on God and put his hand on me. In chapter 16, he pleads, oh, that I had somebody who could plead with God as a man could plead for his neighbor. Job recognized, how can a man be just with God? sincerity can't put away your sin. Sincerity can't free you from the bondage of death. Sincerity can't keep you from the judgment of God. God has made a way. God has made a way. I've oftentimes said to men, Mister, if God's going to save people from sin, if God's going to have a people with him in heaven, certainly God has a right to say how they're going to get there. And he said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He not only is the way, but he's the truth. You remember in Colossians chapter 2, the third verse, God has hidden in Jesus Christ all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge, all ascended in him. And I say again, my friend, if you're wanting the truth, he is the truth. He not only is the way, but he's the truth. And furthermore, he's not only the way and the truth, but he's also the life. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him is life. In him is life. In John 5:26, we read, the Father has given to the Son to have life in himself. And as John 20 says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing you might have life in his name. John 3:36 says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. Same thing in 1 John 5:11-13. 1 John 5:11-13. That God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. So one could go on. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall in no wise ever perish. Friend, listen. Oh, listen. Jesus Christ said, I am the way to the Father. I am the truth that will set you free. You remember in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And later on, our Lord could say in the same chapter, and whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. He's the great emancipator. He's the great deliverer from death, from sin, from judgment, from wrath. He's the only way to the Father. He's the truth that sets you free. And he is the life that brings man into relationship with God. As John 17:3, you remember our Lord said, as thou hast given him authority to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Friend, let me just plead with you today. God is going to have a people in heaven in glory. I like to use the word glory there. God's going to have a people with him in glory, a prepared people. But the only way you'll ever get to glory, to be among that people who are prepared by God, you must come through Jesus Christ. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, you're pretty narrow in that. Well, and it may be. Again, I repeat it. If God is going to save people, if God's going to have a people in heaven, he has a right to say how they're going to come. He has a right to say how they're going to be saved. He has a right to say how they will receive eternal life. He has a right to say how men and women can come to him. And here it is. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? If we don't know the destination, how can we know the way? And how precious, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now he goes on to say, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and henceforth you know him and have seen him. And out of this comes a third question, show us the Father. Now let me close today asking you this question. Friend, have you come to God through Jesus Christ? Remember, he is the only way. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Why don't you accept God's way? You may be sincere. You may be moral. You may be religious. These things may be all right in their place. But friend, they will never bring you to God. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He's the only one who could say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I just trust that today you'll put your trust in Jesus Christ. For he is saying to you, come unto me, I'll give you rest, I'll give you peace, I'll give you life, I'll cleanse you from sin, and you'll have a divine pardon. Why not put your trust in Jesus Christ now and pass from death to life? And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.